Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, Text 7. Tadasya samsrutir bandha paratantriyam chatat kritam vachyakartur ishasya sakshino nirvirtatmana. Translation: material consciousness is the cause of one's conditional life, in which conditions are enforced upon the living entity by the material nature. Although the spirit soul does not do anything and is transcendental to such activities, he is thus affected by conditional life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Mayavadi philosopher who does not differentiate between the Supreme Spirit and the individual spirit says that the conditional existence of the living entity is his lila or pastime. But the word pastime implies employment in the activities of the Lord. That the Mayavadis misuse the word and say that even if the living entity has become a stool-eating hog, he is also enjoying his pastimes. This is a most dangerous interpretation. Actually, the Supreme Lord is the leader and maintainer of all living entities. His pastimes are transcendental to any material activity. Such pastimes of the Lord cannot be dragged to the level of the conditional activities of the living entities. In conditional life, the living entity actually remains as if a captive in the hands of material energy. Whatever the material energy dictates, the conditioned soul does. He has no responsibility. He is simply the witness of the action, but he is forced to act in that way due to his offense in his eternal relationship with Krishna. Lord Krishna therefore says in Bhagavad Gita that Maya, his material energy, is so forceful that it is insurmountable. But if a living entity simply understands that his constitutional position is to serve Krishna, and he tries to act on this principle, then, however conditioned he may be, the influence of Maya immediately vanishes. This is clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita's 7th chapter. Krishna takes charge of anyone who surrenders to him in helplessness. And thus the influence of Maya, or conditional life, is removed. The spirit soul is actually Satchitananda, eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. Under the clutches of Maya, however, he suffers from continued birth, death, disease, and old age. One has to be serious to cure this condition of material existence and transfer himself to Krishna consciousness, for thus his long suffering may be mitigated without difficulty. In summary, the suffering of the conditioned soul is due to his attachment to material nature. This attachment should thus be transferred from matter to Krishna. Tadasya samsrutir bandha paratantriyam chatatkritam Vivachikartur ishasya sakshino nirvritatmana. Material consciousness is the cause of one's conditional life, in which conditions are enforced upon the living entity by the material energy. Although the spirit soul does not do anything and is transcendental to such activities, he is thus affected by conditional life. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shivati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nira Vishesha Shunyavadi Bhastra Chiyadesh Tarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasani Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakam Charubhya Stakripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Pani Dhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Thank you all very much for coming. How nice to be here with you all. This is the 26th chapter of the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. It's important to understand how the material nature is working. Of course, the main thing is to understand Krishna. Who is Krishna? What is his nature? What is his personality? And what are his activities? What are his qualities? This is Krishna consciousness. But ultimately, an important part of it is to understand what is not Krishna, and therefore how to distinguish between that, those things, and Krishna, and in that way stick with Krishna and not get distracted. That is one of the great pitfalls of material existence. We are prone to become distracted. We can become distracted by all sorts of things. And in that way, we lose sight of Krishna. Or if we have already lost sight, then we lose sight even more. And like this, our difficult situation in material existence is perpetuated, just extended, just on and on. So this is an interesting verse then in this chapter, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature, some of the basic points about how it works, or in one sense you could say how it doesn't work. People think that it works in such a way that you become happy and you enjoy in material life, and life is good, and there's so much enjoyment. People think like that, or would like to think like that. This is certainly their aspiration. Certainly, they're aspiring for that. But, as Srila Prabhupada pointed out here, that they fail so often to enjoy. Certainly they fail to really enjoy and become fully satisfied and more blissful, ecstatic. They fail miserably with that. In the Purport, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that the Mayavadi philosophers, of course there are different groups of Mayavadis, but some of them say that our activities in material existence are our lila. our pastime, and generally speaking at least, in terms of the usage in the English language, a pastime means it's very nice, it's fun, a pastime, it's just like that. So, we see though that the conditioned souls in material existence, as we said, their enjoyment is not great. But actually they are undergoing many trials and tribulations. And you want to call that a pastime? Well, you can if you like. But anyone who has struggled in material life for some time will be able to tell you that is certainly not a pastime in the sense of happy and life is good. When we have to deal with difficulty, which inevitably comes and regularly comes, and even sometimes is very severe, and at least many times is quite severe and difficult to deal with. So those types of things, how can you say it's your pastime? What sort of perverted state of mind would you have to actually feel this is pastime in that sense of happy days? We went to the beach and had our pastimes. You don't go to the factory and have a pastime. You go to the beach and have some pastimes. You go to the factory and, well, in South African Indian Chatsworth slang, Chatsworth, that's the big Indian area, one of them now, they would say, it's really slang, that you go to work and you graft. And in the real, you know, those people who really use that slang, if they lose their job, they say, hey, no graft, no work. And graft, I don't know if you're really familiar with the term, graft means work, but really hard work. Ah, you know, just really the battle. They were grafting means, ah, they were just struggling in their work. Yeah. So yes, you don't go to the factory and have pastimes. So the Mayavadis, it's really, in a sense, it's very cruel to say that he was having his pastimes, you know, being sick, being extremely sick and suffering badly. Oh, it was his pastime. Don't tell him that. He won't agree. It was really suffering. So Srila Jiva Goswami gives interesting little expresses it in an interesting way. That these Mayavadis say that it's just a pastime, it's not real. Like a dream. It's not real. And like a dream, they say, you can just snap out of it and just wake up and there you are. It's all behind you. But we see that it's not so easy to do that. And Jiva Goswami, the particular point he makes or the way he puts it, is that if you say someone is just having a pastime, having some deadly disease, or severe illness, that bedridden and they cannot move, and you say, ah, pastime. The Mayavadis say, at least some of them say, that all you have to do is realize that, oh, it's just a dream. Just wake up. So Jiva Goswami says, all right, you tell the person who's sick, it's okay. It's just a pastime, it's not real. Don't worry about it. It's like a dream, it's just, you know, some foolishness. Just stand up and just walk away. But if that sick person tries to just stand up and walk away, he'll just fall down because he really is entangled in that condition of sickness. Yes, so these are not pastimes. And it is almost, you could say, sadistic. Understand sadistic? Sadistic? Means you want to really hurt someone. To suggest that it's just your pastime. Become a stool-eating hog as a pastime. But it is not really just a pastime. Become a peacock in Goloka Vrindavan. Then you can have pastimes with Krishna. So the problem is that the entanglement of the conditioned soul is real. The spirit soul is not part of it. Srila Prabhupada makes that point here in the purport somewhere. Whatever the material energy dictates, the conditioned soul does. He has no responsibility. He is simply the witness of the action. But he is forced to act in that way due to his offense in his eternal relationship with Krishna. So in a certain sense, the conditioned soul is just the witness. And life is going on around the conditioned soul. And the conditioned soul is not really part of it. But still, because the conditioned soul desires it, then the conditioned soul becomes responsible for it and has to take the consequences. Yes. So, to illustrate the point, well, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna makes the point that the bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the material modes of nature thinks himself the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. Karta aham. What is it? Karta aham. Iti manyate. He thinks. Manyate. He thinks. Karta aham. I am the doer. He's just thinking it. But actually it's the material nature. It's just the material nature. In other words, here we are sitting, here I am sitting, and this is my right arm, and my right arm goes up and it goes down, according to that statement of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. It is not me, it is just material nature. And if I were to think I am lifting my arm and I am putting down my arm, it would be karta aham iti manyate. I'm just thinking that. But rather, the modes of material nature, because this body is the material nature, and I am not material nature. I'm eternal, conscious, living entity. I'm something totally different from this body. So my lifting up my arm and putting down my arm, it is just a matter, in terms of that verse, of karta aham iti manyate. That I think I'm the doer, But still, having said that, in so many cases, in many, many cases, it is not that my arm suddenly just rises in the air. Here I am sitting, speaking something from Srimad Bhagavatam, suddenly, oh, my arm went up. No, my arm goes up when I desire it to go up. And then it comes down again halfway because I desire it to go down halfway. And then it goes up again because I desire it. And then I desire it to go down and it goes right down. So it is based on my desire. However, Lord Krishna in that verse is saying that actually these things are carried out by the modes of material nature. Of course, you know, sometimes the body gets sick. It is not our desire, and it is a fact. Sometimes we just find, oh, look, my body got sick. We do not find, oh, look, my arm just went up. But there are certain parts of our physical functioning which just happen like that. You could say we get sick, or even someone gets some disease, you know, there are diseases where the hands or the limbs or whatever start shaking, and you're not trying to shake it, it's just shaking itself, and you may try and stop it, but eventually you may not be able to. So then that is your karma. Because of your karma, these things have come upon you. So, but the point here is that the living entity in material existence, even though the activities, the actions are carried out by material nature, but still we desire them, therefore we are responsible for them, therefore we have to take the consequences. We have to take the consequences. And this is karma, the laws of karma. If we actually had absolutely no responsibility, then perhaps we would not feel any happiness or distress. If it was simply the material nature, something good happens, oh, it was just the material nature. Or something bad happens, we do something bad, but actually it was just the material nature. Then one would assume we would not have to suffer the bad reactions. But because we identify and because we desire, therefore we are responsible. And as a result, we have to undergo happiness and distress. And the happiness, that maybe you could say some, like some pastime. But the distress, that's really distress. It's very unpleasant. And even though we are not these bodies, we are not part of material nature, rather we are transcendental to these things, but Hare Krishna, so yes, even though we are not part of the material nature, we are not material. And in a certain sense, we cannot be affected by whatever happens materially because we are just not material. But still, because we identify, therefore some enjoyment, some suffering is there. Because we identify. The example is given sometimes of going to see a film, some Bollywood classic. Like what? What's a Bollywood classic now? Famous one. Now, today. Ra One was last year, wasn't it? Or was it? It was some time ago. Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, that was shook. That was really a long time ago. Diwali Dulyana Le Jayenge. So the thing is, people go to those movies, and the whole idea is to identify. That's the whole idea. We go and we watch it in order to identify with it and experience it. Because we are not satisfied experiencing reality. We go into an unreal situation and we identify with the unreal and in that way experience the unreal. But then we enjoy that. That's the idea. To go into a hallucination, accept it as real, and get some pleasure from it. Of course, you know, one implication of that is that our lives, if this is what we have to do with our lives in order to be happy, it means our lives are not really of much value at all. If we need to go into some just dream world, unreality, in order to feel happy, because otherwise we wouldn't be happy enough, that means that our reality is very sad. But if you sit in the movie and you look at it, and you really think these people are just actors, it is not happening at all, it is just complete rubbish, then you won't be able to enjoy it, will you? The bad people are chasing the hero. How could you feel anxiety, concern, if you were just thinking, he's just acting, it's not real. He's just being paid money to make it look like it's real. But it's just it's stupidity. How could you wouldn't be able to enjoy, would you? So you have to accept the unreality as reality. Then you can experience it. Then you can experience it. So, we are not part of this reality. We are not part of it because we are eternal spirit souls. But we accept that we are part of it. Therefore, we have to undergo the trials and tribulations. And therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna makes the point to Arjuna, right in the beginning, that you should understand your spiritual nature, and therefore, on that basis, don't rejoice in apparent victory, don't lament in apparent defeat, be indifferent to heat, cold, happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, fame, infamy. Become equipoised in these things. It is not just some sort of mental discipline or emotional discipline. It is just a matter of accepting the reality. That's all. Just as, in a sense, going to the movie and understanding this is a nonsense. No one is being killed. Not a single one is being killed. She does not love him. He does not love her. It's just, they're just putting it on as if it were. And they're very clever at doing that. They're so clever. Prabhupada made the point that in India sometimes, perhaps in the past, there used to be like a traveling show, or maybe a sideshow at the circus sort of thing. The man who barks like a dog. And people would pay money to go and see the man, and he would bark like a dog. And they would applaud and think, very good. But there are many dogs in the street. They can bark. And no one is paying any money. But when a man barks like a dog, oh, we'll pay money. But it's just an act, because he's a man. So yes, material life is like that. And the beginning of Krishna consciousness, at least a very important part of the beginning, is to realize these facts, that I am not this body. And therefore that the happiness, distress, heat, cold, health, good health, bad health, and all these things, they actually don't affect me. Of course, in order to really experience that, heat, cold doesn't matter, makes no difference. In order to experience the fact that heat, cold, all these things make no difference, you have to be somewhat advanced in Krishna consciousness. But Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes the point in the description of Krishna Prema, the devotee in pure love of Krishna in Madhurya Kadamani, he makes the point that the devotee, being so absorbed in love for Krishna and so engaged in service to Krishna and just consciousness completely involved in these things, that the devotee may not notice when his or her body dies. They actually may not notice. Just like we're sitting here, and at least some of the time, we don't notice how we're sitting, how our legs are feeling. Maybe after some time we feel it. Otherwise you don't really notice how our eyes are blinking. When was the last time you really noticed, oh, my eyes just blinked? Generally it just goes on. But there is sensation there. But because our consciousness is absorbed elsewhere, even though there is sensation when we blink, I mean, just blink consciously and you see. You feel it when you focus your attention on it. But when your attention is focused elsewhere, you don't feel it. You don't feel it. So, yes, the very advanced devotee in pure Krishna prema may not even notice when his or her body dies. Just a little later they notice, oh, where's my gross body gone? What happened? Oh, it must have died. So actually, this is factually the experience of devotees who are very, very advanced. On our level, of course, we're not very advanced. Of course, we're trying and we do get some experience. But if we continue enthusiastically and if we really persevere and endeavor, then we can make quick progress. Srila Prabhupada makes the point here. If a living entity simply understands that his constitutional position is to serve Krishna, and he tries to act on this principle, then However conditioned he may be, the influence of Maya immediately vanishes. Many devotees have had this experience. I had it myself. Coming to Krishna consciousness and not being happy. Having been through some really unpleasant experiences in material existence. And then coming to Krishna consciousness. And then one day, or not long after coming, realizing, oh, all those problems have gone. Amazing. Brother Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Nectar of Devotion, he says there are two very important characteristics of devotional service on the level of sadhana bhakti, means in the beginning stages of devotional service. One is, if at least you really render devotional service nicely, pure devotional service on the level of sadhana bhakti gives immediate relief from all material distress. And then second is, pure devotional service on the level of sadhana bhakti immediately brings all auspiciousness. And Prabhupada, in the explanation there regarding auspiciousness, how the devotee's life becomes wonderful, happy in so many ways, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of young people studying in university. The idea is, in fact, on the aeroplane yesterday coming over here, I was glancing through some magazine just on the aeroplane, and someone was saying the key, the solution to problems, things like economic, social, crime, the key is education. You've got to educate the African people, actually, that was the idea. Then they're going to become better, happier, and like that. But Prabhupada there, in Nectar of Devotion, he gives the description that the young people go to the universities, and in many cases they become degraded. So much illicit activity goes on in those places. And the leaders, the teachers, the lecturers, many of them are very sinful people and degraded. And the young people, they may get a good material education, but they may also come out on the level of character in a deteriorated condition because of all the association and all the nonsense things that go on. So that Srila Prabhupada made the point that his disciples, who are also young people at that time, young people like those students, they come to Krishna consciousness, and then immediately, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, all these things. Immediately they become free from those things, those inauspicious things, and immediately they become very joyful. Just see. So Krishna consciousness is so powerful that it can turn one's life around drastically, very quickly, if one gives oneself to it wholeheartedly. This is the nature of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada says one has to be serious to cure the condition of material existence. One has to be serious. that we have to take to Krishna consciousness and apply it very seriously in order to make progress and to get the wonderful experience which is available. In order to get it, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would say, if you want to know what honey tastes like, you have to open the bottle and eat some. You can always just look at it from the outside and certain things you'll see, but to experience it for what it is, for that you have to open the bottle and try it. So yes, we have to break this attachment we have to this unnatural situation, this foreign situation. Another example Prabhupada gave was of some man was walking down the road, and there on the side of the road was another man who was embracing a tree. He was holding the tree, but he was calling out, "Let me go! Let me go!" But he was embracing the tree, not that the tree had caught him. So we have embraced material nature. We have embraced material love. Therefore we're undergoing the ups and downs. It is not that we were just innocently walking along in Goloka Vrindavan one day and Maya Devi just grabbed us and threw us down here, and then, oh, look what happened to me. Here I am in Bulbasaur. I wanted to be in Goloka. I was in Goloka. I just found myself in Bulbasaur one day. No, there is no such thing as an innocent victim. But because we desire, therefore we have the situation. And because we're attached to the situation, therefore we feel, we experience in terms of the situation. Just as when you watch a movie, if you accept the movie as reality, then you experience. When things are happy in the movie, you feel happy. When things are sad in the movie, you feel sad. Like this. That's the only way they can make money, isn't it? By making the movie so expertly that people will accept it. You know, some of our ISKCON dramas, Hare Krishna, the devotees are trying to have a serious drama. But the devotees do so many comedy dramas. But even when they try to do a serious drama, the audience, who's seen so many comedies, they think it's funny. How many times have I seen that? Yeah. So, yes, people, they watch the film and their emotions are in terms of the film. The same principle applies to material existence. It is not our situation. We're not part of it. But we have accepted it. We are attached to it. We identify with it. Therefore we experience in terms of what is going on the material level. So actually, in that sense, we are captive. But we are captive because we've chosen to be captives. Like sometimes you get these criminals, they get locked up in jail, but they like it. Because you don't have to work, you can sit around all day. And you get your food provided, your accommodation provided, and why go out there and work hard and struggle? So as soon as they get released, they commit another crime and make sure they get caught. So yes, we've chosen material life. But now our situation, of course, has become so deeply entangled that it's not clear to us. Although actually the situation is like that. So yes, let us therefore be very serious about our Krishna consciousness and do try really to do everything very nicely. And then we'll feel very quickly how we become free from the anxieties and how we become very blissful and how our lives and we ourselves as persons transform for the better. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Words of wisdom from Krishna Chandra Prabhu? Krishna Das Prabhu?
I have one question, Maharaj.
Yes.
When we take to Krishna conscious, seemingly we apply the knowledge, the science, and the practical aspect.
Right.
But then we see situation varies. Like, for example, time through our service, we become blissful.
Mm-hmm.
And other time, with the same service, situation differs. Because we, maybe we're not so happy or things like that. And other time also, although we're doing, then we see like problems come. Although like seemingly engaged in devotional service. Mm-hmm. It's quite like, you know, the waves goes up and down,
mm-hmm.
and we move along the waves.
Mm-hmm.
So what actually happens?
Well, it may be that even though you're making some progress, because you have not completely transcended, sometimes you may be more influenced by the modes than other times. This is possible. Yes. So therefore sometimes, some days or sometimes, you feel more clear-headed and you can get into things more. Other times it may be a struggle to do the same things. So that's one possibility. The modes of material nature fluctuate, and we are not transcendental to them yet. Another possibility, not just possibility, but it definitely happens sometimes, is that Krishna is testing you. Say, he causes certain things to happen to see, what are you going to do? Are you going to really meet the situation in Krishna consciousness? Or are you going to become, you know, some doubt may come up? Or, you know, some unwillingness to really serve? Krishna tests. So therefore Krishna sends different situations to see. And it's ultimately it's part of the process for purifying us, in the sense that in the long run what we need to do is keep fully engaged whether it's going well or not, and keep that determination and enthusiasm whether things are going well or not. That's a more advanced stage. Yeah. Unbreakable determination. It's a symptom of bhava, actually, that one has a determination which cannot be broken no matter what happens. what good, what bad, what people, what whatever, one will not be affected, but one will persevere regardless. So it's definitely a fact that Krishna puts the devotees in these types of situations, and the end result is that the devotees will get enough realization to see and to actually be convinced, I should push on anyway. Because it's one of the symptoms of neophyte devotional service, Gana Tarala, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, sometimes very enthusiastic, sometimes just no enthusiasm. And we used to, you know, we in the old days, the really old days, there was a Bhakta program in English, in England. For some reason, the English devotees pronounced the word Bhakta as Bhakta. Bhakta. They pronounce it, you go there, you'll see. There are many Bhaktas, but you don't really get Bhaktas. So, you know, you have all these new Bhaktas joining the Bhakta program, and sometimes they're doing okay, and sometimes some of them, sure, they really are not doing okay. So we would see sometimes some of the new Bhaktas would sleep through the morning program, and we would know it's because, you know, there's some problem going on. And we would call them back to bed. back to bed. Means some new Bhakta who's really, you know, lost his inspiration. So Krishna puts the devotees in these types of situations, and if the devotees are determined and sincere, and, you know, to some degree or sufficient degree, then Krishna gives them insight so they can see, ah, yes, I should carry on, and I shouldn't just give up or become mental or become doubtful. I should just persevere in my devotional service. So, yeah, if the devotee perseveres, then Krishna gives more and more realization to make the devotee more convinced that even, you know, some days I feel good, so I can do my service, it's no problem. Some days maybe I feel sick, or the mind just somehow becomes agitated, something happens, mind becomes affected, but still I should carry on despite those circumstances. But it also, you know, particularly in the earlier stages, it may be more just the fluctuations of the modes. You know, a day, some days are beautiful, sunny days, and people just feel happy, and even devotees do. And some days are just terrible, shocking weather, and some devotees become affected by it. Yeah? So that's the fluctuation of the modes of nature. Is that okay?
Very good.
Any other comment or question? Yes, Guru?
Our human learned souls think that we are the doer, when in actuality everything is carried out by the both of material nature.
Yes.
And although we are part and parcel of the role, the modes of material nature have a very strong influence on our body. Is it because our body is made of material elements?
Of course. Our bodies are made of material elements. And Krishna, I think it's in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that a devotee, a person is in knowledge if they see nothing but the modes of nature. Or if they understand that in any situation there is nothing but the modes of nature. So our bodies are, you could say, composed of the modes. Of course they are composed of the elements, earth, water, fire, ether, etc. They're composed of the elements, but the elements are just totally saturated with the modes, 100%. It's not that you get some earth, for example, like our flesh is basically earth. So it's not that you get some earth which is completely free from the modes, from goodness, passion and ignorance. You just don't get it. Doesn't exist. You only get earth, which is just completely, the modes of material nature are just through it completely. Yeah. So our hope is to transcend the modes. That's our hope. The material nature will go on, the body will continue suffering. But our hope is we may be able to rise above it and therefore not be affected by that happiness and distress, but rather be fully absorbed in Krishna's service despite what is going on the bodily level. Good point.
When someone is in Krishna consciousness, does he transcend the modes?
He begins transcending the modes. Not completely. He definitely begins because, you see, devotees just lose interest in material existence, at least to some degree. They really do.
Yes. Perhaps we see that the non-devotees, they endeavor to achieve their objectives in life, and then we see the devotees also, they also have to endeavor and they also have to persevere.
Mm-hmm.
But like how this two perseverance, this two type of perseverance is different. Like when the devotee is persevering, he's struggling, he gets happiness while he's still struggling. But the materials also
have
got some kind of happiness also.
Yes, they get some happiness, but not as much as the devotee. And they get a lot more distress. Oh, my gosh. They get a lot more distress. But yes, and the endeavors of the materialists, you know, of course you get very advanced materialists who have very strong determination, but then you get more average materialists and they don't have such strong determination. Of course you get devotees who are not so advanced also, and they really may lack determination. But as the devotees advance, they develop more determination. Yeah. In a natural, transcendental way. Through seeing how Krishna is there, and if I take shelter of him and surrender and persevere, I get his mercy. So, yes. So therefore, on the whole, a more advanced devotee will be a lot more perseverant than your average materialist.
Yes, and then this perseverance itself becomes a source of happiness also. When he's persevering, he's struggling, then Krishna reciprocates.
Sure.
That struggle itself becomes nectar.
Yes, that's true. Definitely.
It's a struggle. He hasn't achieved the goal, but still that struggle becomes a...
Right. Yes, because he feels that I'm coming closer to Krishna, I'm doing it for Krishna, Krishna is there. And through engaging the senses and the mind in the activity of service, natural spiritual pleasure comes.
Yeah, Maharaj. But how come, like, when a devotee renders devotional service, service to Krishna or to the devotee or spiritual master, then ultimately the same type of service lead to love of Godhead? Like,
yes. Yes. As Mother Manasi Ganga is cooking here, and your good wife also at home, Mother Yashoda is cooking in Goloka Vrindavan. They also have Mirish and Dal Roti in Goloka Vrindavan, but they just don't call it Mirishan. So in most cases the same services go on, and it's not that, you know, in a material situation, like when children go to school, first they learn A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, and, you know, these very, very basic things. But then when they're at the university, it's not that they're studying A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. They've gone beyond to other subject matters. But in Krishna consciousness, at least in many ways, you stay with the same things. Prabhupada gave the example of a mango ripening. You get little green mango like this, and you get big ripe mango. So, you know, if you eat the little green mango raw, it's very sour, and it's just, people don't do it. I mean, at most they may make a pickle out of it with strong spices to cover that, the strength of the taste of the mango. But the same little mango later becomes very big and sweet. So you can't say the little mango, green mango, is no good. The ripe mango is good. Green mango is no good. You can't say that. Because they're the same mango, but they're just in different degrees of development, different stages of development. So we cook, Mother Yashoda cooks. We talk about Krishna, the gopis talk about Krishna. But it's just a question of degree of development and advancement. Yeah, but actually it's the same thing. It's actually the same thing, but just in different stages of development. And that applies with most of our services. When I first joined the temple, my first regular service, like every day, was washing the pots. In Goloka Vrindavan, they wash the pots also. Those in Dasya Ras, and maybe the wives, the mothers, themselves, they wash the pots. It's the same thing. And that's why in chapter 9, verse 2, Bhagavad Gita, Susukam Rajavijarajaguriyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Prachak Shavagomo Daomyam Susukam Kartam Avyayam. Yeah. Susukam Kartam Avyayam. That it is everlasting and joyfully performed. It's not, because it's not like you learn ABC and then you go on to something else and you leave ABC. It's not that you start by cleaning the floor but then you go on to something else necessarily. Yeah. Therefore, the principle of service is everlasting. And that's one reason why it's joyfully performed. Because it is everlasting. It is completely transcendental. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj ki jai.